cause we got the alternative energy. Behind me, kill our free autonomy.
And welcome to the Radioactive Show, produced at the studios of 3CR Melbourne and heard nationally on the Community Radio Network.
This is the Radioactive Show, and I'm Emma Crunch. Today's Radioactive Show has been produced on Dharawal and Wurundjeri lands as I've travelled between these two countries in past weeks. I give my respect to custodians of these lands who've kept the country safe for thousands of generations. This is a show that takes you back, not that far, considering the Radioactive Show has been going for 50 years, but back to the decade of 2006 to 2016 to share some recordings and messages from producers at that time, one of who was me, and I'm still producing, even if just occasionally, as is Michaela Stubbs. I asked former producers to choose a clip from a show they made during that era with the theme of journey, because when I think of those years, I think of Friends of the Earth, Radioactive exposure tours through the South Australia countries with the late and great Uncle Kevin Buzzacott. I think of the Walkajira walkabouts in Western Australia, which I never made it on sadly, but I would hear about through friends and through the Radioactive Show. Aunty Sue's rock hole clean out trips, which still continue to this day. Journeys have a special power, and you'll hear people reflecting on that through the show. First up, we'll hear from K.A. Garlic on Wajak Noongar country. K.A. produced the Rad Show for a few years in the 2010s and has been speaking out on nukes for decades. K.A. is going to tell some tales from the Kalamili Walk and share a special recording that actually Michaela made on that walk.
Hi, my name's K.A. I'm recording this from the lands of the Wajak Noongar, or better known as Fremantle. And I've chosen the part one of the Kalamili Walk that was recorded in June 2016, protecting Mardu country from uranium mining at Kintyre in Western Australia. And I chose it because of the diverse voices that were not only on this walk, but that what was recorded was the many different voices from that walk. I chose, first and foremost, I must admit, I have to say that I chose this because I have a long history of walking. And so when Crunch themed this decade as the journey, lots of walking journey for me in this decade, not just across this country, but all around the world. But we brought the walks back to the WA movement to stop uranium mining during this period, and the Kalamili walk was off the back of the Walkajura walkabout walk that was and has been so successful over the decade. And so, but I really loved the way that this show was recorded by Michaela, the deep love and the respect for traditional owners, the voices in language, and that's why I chose the part where you're just hearing language, Mardu language, from Kanu, rest in peace, where, you know, you just, there was no interruptions. You can hear the background voices. You can hear the songs that people were singing around Kanu and Michaela and the birds in the background. And I just love the way it was recorded with that deep respect of no interruptions. And just listening back to that show, it just, brings back so many great, deep memories and just the special walk that it was and the 7 days back in June 2016. So I also chose it because we're celebrating such a great achievement from 3CR that I love so much. And, you know, 50 years on radio, community radio, is just so amazing. All those stories and all those decades and all the people that we hear from around the country doing so many great things. And then, you know, amazing 49 years of the Rad Show. That's just huge in itself. And then this walk was 10 years ago, almost to the day. So it was really special to listen back to the show and listen to Kanu's voice. But not only Kanu's, Mookie, Taylor, you know, Marcus and some staunch activists across this country, Marcus Atkinson and Dave Sweeney and Mia Pepper, and the songs of Winniata. And on that walk we had Anoni, which was amazing, and you can hear some of their songs through the show. And it just brought back some absolute incredible privilege that we had of walking together, and the solidarity and the relationships that we built on that walk, and the connections to country, and just I was reminded that one of the elders had talked about how we were some of the first people to walk, white people, Wadjalas, to walk across that country together with the Maru people, and it was just so special. And I think that for me, that the solidarity and the walking together and the relationships and the connections is what also is what 3CR is about as well. And when I watched Michaela, I remember watching Michaela, and a big shout out to Michaela and her years of dedication to 3CR. I remember watching Michaela record this episode with Kanu, and they were sitting in this beautiful location. I'm just trying to think of the name of the river or the rock hole. I think Pimaloo rock hole, and the beauty of that surrounded them, and just the way that it was gently recorded, and the deep respect that Michaela had for Kanu and the traditional owners. And I think that's what makes 3CR so special, is that solidarity, but that understanding, and Kanu's voice and hearing it in Maru language. And you can hear some of her story through what she's saying. You can hear her say about the poison, the uranium mining, and that impact that's going to have on everything around that area, the Kalamili River, the rock hole. So if you listen carefully to those words, you'll hear parts of that. And you know, I chose it also because of what we've done so well with the walk and with 3CR is to amplify the voices of traditional owners. And I think it was just, it's our responsibility when we go on these walks is to keep and continuing to share these stories. And because of that privilege that we have had of going out onto country and walking together. And I think we have the privilege of sitting on country and sitting with mob and listening to their stories and watching their culture, and a small connection to these beautiful places that we've been to, that we've got to keep this passion alive. And we do it in many different ways. And one of them for me has been through the 3CR Rad Show. And that's been so brilliant to continue my responsibility of amplifying the voices of Aboriginal people here in Western Australia, particularly for protecting their land and their culture and their water and their communities from uranium mining. So that's been really special. And we can really be proud also that there's no uranium mining happening in Western Australia. And a big part of, you know, stopping uranium mining in Western Australia was the diversity of the campaign, including people coming out to places like Kalamili and Kintyre to walk with the traditional owners and hear those stories and record them and then play them back on the Rad Show. And that was a part of why we have campaigned so well. And so a big respect and love to 3CR and the Rad Show and all of the people that have produced amazing work and stories over the decades, and just keep going, keep the fire burning, and much love and respect from WA. Thanks so much. Bye.
The uranium, you know, is a poison.
Let's begin with Kanu, Nancy Taylor, speaking at Pimaloo Rockhole Camp.
nani anani mani bimulunga bimulunga anani mani kuare and yoda kulu yanayan yoda kulu yanayan ko jina nani yoda kulu yanayan ko kurunga ngora yanayan ko yanayan ko majani ko kurai nani yanayan ngabe ko You're in a man at Tapmon Cocoarilla. Taridinga will be there. And Yanian Kindaya Kindaya Guyana Yani Guari. And Guyana Wayne can go mighty Taraday. Yeah. Yani La Tad Yani Tad You're in a man. It's a poison ba. Number malgari man ko koi malgari man ko inar one ka kangaroo panajar ba. Any koi and kipara everything malgari man ko kalyo mix up chungko karo rako. Rakoli anything. And Karo. Nani kalam in your river. You'll be a tango mix up to get a poison. Oh, my dear, you can be anybody. You'll have a malgari. Don't go anybody. You'll have a camera. I am a young bagwarina. My dear, young Guyana Dumar. You're not going to go. Couldn't get on the. Yura kuluran penayan ku kudung kaya na andi ko. Yala kung liya na yan iwan ku poison ko. Yung yan ang yan at tapun dalay. Everything kilo malgari mala kuy everything. Poison ba? Mix up to ala lo karong karawa ko ulta poison. Malga. I don't know them. Jigila jigila badulu jumaluba wadaru ko jigila nila yonga ma yana yanpa mariana japa ma you're right nalba will be there zari dinga na nalba waran pa jumaul nani lawaran kala jumaul langka na nalba ko Cuma orang nila pernah kuari lo nila betul. Pimulung kaya nani mani kuari. Rokol. Yeah. Yo. Yala na. Yala ngayon na bin na next time na we may dun kawan mo narang ka. Ura wiranta.
In today's radioactive show, we're listening back to the decade of 2006 to 2016 and shows chosen by producers at that time. You've just heard a clip from a rad show of the Carla Milieu Walk, made in 2016. And this clip was chosen and introduced by K.A., who recalled how you hear voices of elders on country and others and the sounds of country as well as Māori language. I hope you enjoyed that really special recording. We'll now hear from a big journey a few of us made the year before in 2015. Former rad show producer Archie, now living in Aotearoa, introduces the clip they chose from a visit to Saskatchewan lands in the far north of Turtle Island, known as Canada.
This is a clip of Candice Paul talking about the impact of the uranium industry on northern Saskatchewan communities in Canada, like the English River First Nation community, where Candice and her partner Marius live. Marius and Candice invited us into their home, and it was such an honour to spend time with them. in 2015 and hear their decades-long struggle for community health and First Nations sovereignty. What stuck with me when we were invited when we invited them to Australia, where the stories are so similar and we're fighting the very same company, Cameco. They said that they couldn't leave their home for that long, that they were concerned about what the uranium companies would get up to in their absence. There was a sense of responsibility to hold the line in this long struggle for a healthy environment and healthy families. But even if they couldn't come themselves, through the Radioactive Show and 3CR, we could share their voices, creating connections, even when we're thousands of miles and oceans apart. Happy 50th 3CR. Long live the revolution.
So that's the way that they operate. Nothing is significant to them. These harms that they cause aren't significant to them. Oh yeah, well, we got it stopped at this point, and we're watching, we're measuring. That's how they do it. Mm. And how it's impacting our life is, like, we depend on traditional foods, hunted and gathered foods. Cost of food up here is prohibitive. You can't just really afford to go out and buy from the stores here. It's at triple the price that it is down south. And it's poor quality. Mm. So the traditional foods we really still depend on. We need moose. We need fish. We need caribou. We need berries. But our moose, our caribou, our fish, are all being found to have traces of radionuclides and heavy metals in them. And they say that these fish and meat are below the safety level, so you should be able to eat them if you don't eat them every day. We eat them every day. We eat the organ meat where most of it was most concentrated. And you know, I actually talked to the person who did the study, this professor that did the study. We had a really long conversation about this, and she says, they are below the safety levels. I said, what do you think of the safety levels? She said, that's the question. What they consider the safe limits may not actually be safe. But she's not allowed to say that in her report, because those are the safety limits. But what we've noted is the safety limits are set by the industry. And quite often they're set to what their machinery and their equipment can handle to remove from whatever tailings and effluents that are coming out of the mine. In the past, cancer was a really rare thing. Mm. You might get one cancer death a year, if you were lucky. Today, it's one in seven. We got 750 in our communities, and there's 100 of them that have cancer. And it's all kinds of cancers. The only one that the Cameco and the Canadian Nuclear Safety Commission admit to is lung cancer because of the radon gas emissions.
That was in 2015, and Jem, Archie, myself, and also KA, who you heard from earlier, all went on that trip. We chose this clip because Jem and I remember really building that sense of community on the walk, ride, run. We were both riding bikes, but every night the whole group would meet together wherever we were being hosted. And we wanted to listen back to some of the voices and people we were traveling with. Following Archie's clip with Candace and Marius, you'll hear Jem, Romuald and myself, Crunch, introducing a show that we made about a walk, ride, run from the Y-12 nuclear weapons facility to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty meeting in New York. Hello and welcome to a two-part special on the movement towards a nuclear-free future. Walk, Ride, Run, that happened in April 2015 from Tennessee to New York in the United States. Jem and I were both lucky enough to join a contingent from various parts of Australia to participate in the journey. People converged from France, Aotearoa, New Zealand, and across the United States to make up a group of 30 or so walkers, riders, and runners.
We started at the Y-12 nuclear weapons facility at Oak Ridge, Tennessee, significant for its role in the Manhattan Project, which built the nuclear bomb that first unleashed its terror on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Y-12 is still operating today and continues as a highly contested facility for the storage of fissile material and the maintenance of the US's vast stockpile of nuclear weapons.
The walk aimed to arrive in New York in time for the UN Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty Review Conference, travelling a distance of over 800 miles across 8 state borders, staying at many, many churches, colleges and a taekwondo studio, and treated to potluck community dinners almost every night.
I think it's interesting because people are drawn in and amazed that you're walking long distances, and that will appeal to a large range of people or intrigue a large range of people. And then when they find out what you're doing, they might not have initially been interested, but so it's just a way of, it's a bit of a stunt in some ways to get attention, but it's also about taking time to create a community that's moving together and where people from all over the place, and really being aware of the land that you're walking on and the changes that are going on. And
you know, every step is a step for peace, and the way is peace. It's not trying to get to somewhere. It's trying to go with a peaceful heart and a peaceful mind, and to carry that every step, and to realize that it really does have an effect, but none of us really know how broad or wide or how much. But this, one of my teachers is Thich Nhat Hanh, and he says, life is dreadful and wonderful all the time. All the time, every day, every moment of every day and night. And that if we just get bogged down and we think only of the dreadful, then we're just miserable. We have to contact those things that bring peace into our hearts in order to transform these other things.
I was telling somebody, I was describing it as sort of a walking prayer, because the Buddhists hit their drums and chant as we walk, and many times you're walking in a very kind of meditative place in the country setting, not always. Sometimes you're walking in the city next to traffic. I like moving. I like walking. It feels like an action. I mean, literally an action. And I was describing it to someone else who said, did you get any media attention? And I thought about that for a second. I thought, well, you know, we are sort of a form of media, you know, because as we walk the highway with our banner and our chant and our presence, we actually are planting seeds, a message, as people drive by, and a lot of people drive by. And so it seems to me in a very small way that it's moving through people's minds as well as their countryside.
We woke up to the mesmerizing chants of the Nipponzon Myohoji Buddhist Order every morning before light. Denise and Utsumi joined us on the walk and are part of the Nipponzon Myohoji Order, which was created specifically to work for peace and the end of the atomic age.
Why did you separate me from the earth? Why did you separate me from the earth, my father?
This is the Radioactive Show, and you were just hearing audio from a 2015 peace walk, ride, run in Turtle Island, which former Rad Show producers all had the honour to be on. And now in this memory show from 2006 to 2016, you'll hear again from a trip Jem and I were lucky enough to make when we travelled around a lot in those years to the south of India in 2014 to the Kudankulam nuclear reactor in Tamil Nadu, which had and still has a really strong movement against it. I've been thinking about it a lot this week as India's Prime Minister Modi visits Australia and purportedly is going to make a uranium export deal with Prime Minister Albanese. Back in 2014, we learned about the accidents with nukes in India, the lack of safeguards, and how communities were not getting the benefits of the power and instead suffering the effects of being near reactors. It is pretty really depressing to think that uranium from sacred country here is likely to be exported to India to harm communities there in the future. Let's resist that, and as we will continue to resist all the issues that have been highlighted in these radioactive shows. There'll need to be more journeys. But in the meantime, let's hear from Bhargavi, who Gem and I spoke to on a rooftop in Chennai before we visited the Kudankulam reactor and community nearby.
People who make the decisions and policies, and talk to them and tell them that there is a strong nuclear movement in India, yeah. Anti-nuclear movement in India, who is fighting and resisting against the uranium that you're going to supply.
Yeah.
So because they don't even know what's happening in the other part of the world.
Yeah.
And they think India is power hungry, India needs uranium. But they don't even know what the people out there at Kudankulam are saying. So when I played the movie to some of the parliamentarians and to some of the activists in Australia, they were really awed. They were really like, oh, is there a strong movement out there? So yeah. And yeah, visiting some of the Aboriginal community members who are fighting hard against these nuclear power plants, nuclear uranium sites, uranium dumping sites, it really gives us, what do you say, kind of motivation to work in solidarity for those people as well.
Yeah.
It's not just a struggle for our own selves. People's movement against nuclear energy should also fight against the uranium dumping at Makati. And we should all come together, because when we join together as one force, we become more strong and we make more people turn their heads to us. My strong thing is uranium doesn't solve all our issues. Uranium doesn't feed our poor, like uranium doesn't cure so many people who are facing AIDS and so many diseases.
Yeah.
Rather, uranium leads to cancer and so many people die. And uranium just increases poverty because it just increases the division again.
Mm.
It just widens the gap. It's all rich people who get electricity, who get power, who get energy.
Yeah.
And the poor people, there are villages in India, in South India, which doesn't even know what electricity means, which are not electrified.
Wow.
Yeah, and there are few friends who've gone ahead to give solar lamps to these villages.
Wow.
And they live happily with solar lamps.
Yeah.
You wouldn't imagine how much change solar power has created in these villages.
Mm.
There are schools which are like trying to teach their children how to make solar, how to generate solar power, how to generate solar energy and types. I think that should be the way forward.
Yeah.
And it's no way forward. Like, nuclear energy is not the way forward.
Mm.
I don't see a future in nuclear energy.
Yeah.
I don't even know where the fuel rods go after they are used.
Mm.
The spent fuel rods, do they go back?
Mm.
Like, it's unfair to send back spent fuel rods to the countries which supplied nuclear energy.
Yeah.
You've been listening to The Radioactive Show. And today's show has been a special celebration of the decade of shows in 2006 to 2016. Thank you to all former Rad Show producers, and particularly to KA, Archie and Jem for selecting audio to contribute to this show. It reminded me how many staunch people have contributed to our show over its 49 or arguably 50-year history. You can podcast Radioactive Shows back to about 2015 by finding us on 3cr.org.au. Thanks to the Nuclear Free Collective of Friends of the Earth for their ongoing support of our show. I'm Crunch, and here's to many more anti-nukes journeys. The song in today's show is by Anoni, who did attend the Kalamiliu Walk, as KA said, in 2016. And this song is called Why Did You Separate Me From The Earth?